What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogelmeyer. We are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for five seasons doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. And now this is our third year with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you still coming on to listen because obviously we did not get Daniel Popper from The Athletic on today's show. We had a scheduling conflict late at night, so he is going to be on tomorrow's show with us, so make sure you stick around for that. But we definitely had to do kind of an audible last second, so we decided to do basically an all voicemail show. We have a bunch of voicemails we have to get into, so I figured on today's show we'll talk about some news, which is just the trade that has been proposed by an Athletic writer for the Chargers to potentially go after left tackle Trent Williams, and then we'll get into a bunch of voicemails about really a bunch of different things. I mean, second round quarterback prospects, the players we could see the best stats on next year, and I mean, really so much. It's all honestly hard to keep track of because we have seven to get into today, but a lot of good content coming from those. But David, let's go ahead and get into it. The Los Angeles Chargers have been often linked to left tackle Trent Williams of the Redskins, and one Athletic writer has a trade that could possibly land him with the Chargers. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Shiel Kapadia from The Athletic suggested seven trades that would make sense in the NFL right now, and one of them had the Chargers sending Desmond King and a fourth round pick in exchange for disgruntled left tackle Trent Williams. So the Trent Williams and Redskins saga has been going on over a few years now. There has been money issues between them not giving him a new extension. There has also been health issues where he didn't trust the team doctors after he went out and checked out something on his head that ended up being cancerous. So there has been some conflict over there, and there hasn't been any resolution so far. He has been openly shot by the Redskins, but they have not found any takers to get what they think they deserve for trading away an all-pro left tackle in Trent Williams, who is turning 32 but is still a very valuable asset. But David, this also has the Chargers sending away Desmond King as well, who has been an all-pro for the Chargers and is going into the final year of his contract and a fourth round pick. So on the surface, this is the Chargers sending one of their better cornerbacks for a left tackle and also giving up a fourth round pick. So if you were the Chargers, do you accept this trade?
If I were the Chargers, I would definitely accept this trade, because if you look at it from the Chargers' perspective, they have a surplus of corners right now. They went out and they signed one of the better slot corners in the league, Chris Harris Jr. from the Broncos, for a couple of years. And you look at the Redskins, and they have an obvious deficiency at corner. They cut Josh Norman. They traded away Quentin Dunbar. Trent Williams and the Redskins have had a lot of problems. And the Chargers, they have a big hole at left tackle right now that Trent Williams could step in and immediately remedy. The Chargers also have a lot of difficult decisions to make next year, as far as we don't know if the Chargers are going to be able to pay Desmond King, as this is a contract year for him. But it's not only a contract year for him, but it's going to be a contract year for Keenan Allen, for Joey Bosa, and several other high-profile players. The Chargers are not going to be able to pay everybody, so Desmond King might be the odd man out. So why not go out, get a player that's going to help you immediately? This seems like a deal that could work for both sides.
Yeah, of course. It has to make sense for both sides to come to some sort of agreement. And Trent Williams has been one of the best left tackles in the NFL. He didn't play at all last season, so that's definitely a concern. But when you're the Chargers and Trey Pipkins is your starting left tackle, you have to explore all of the options out there. And one of the other things it does if they go and get Trent Williams is it really frees up what they're able to do in the draft. They don't have to worry about trying to get one of the top flight offensive tackles in this draft class. But the biggest questions that would come with trying to make a deal like this are, can you get Trent Williams to accept a contract extension, because it's only worth it if he extends, and he might only play if they extend him, and have the Chargers soured enough on Desmond King to put him in a trade, because he was a phenom as a rookie, one of the better fifth round picks in his draft class, and now it seems like last year he really fell off and isn't in the favor of the coaching staff anymore. So those are the two big things. Can you get Trent Williams to extend, and Desmond King, has he fallen out of favor enough for the Chargers to pull off a move like this?
Obviously, that's the question. But as far as Trent Williams is concerned, you mentioned he didn't play in football at all last year because of the problems that he had with the Redskins. And also, there's some rumors out there that he might be able to make some concessions on the contract if it helps him get out of Washington. And fortunately, the Chargers front office has a contract guru by the name of Ed McGuire, who has really helped this offseason make the contracts very reasonable and help free up cap space so they can potentially make a move like this. And yes, I do believe that the Chargers have soured quite a bit on Desmond King. He struggled quite a bit last year. Per Pro Football Reference, he allowed 45 of the 54 passes thrown his way to be completed, and he also allowed 3 touchdowns and a passer rating against of 124.8, as well as being suspended. So when you consider all of those things, it makes a lot of sense for the Chargers to ship him off and try to get some value out of him before letting him just walk in 2021.
Yeah, you absolutely want to get something from a valuable asset. And in 2018, Desmond King was much better, which makes this so much harder. I mean, the passer rating he allowed in 2018 was only 81. So that's a big difference between 120 plus. So his play definitely dipped. It's just, can he get back to that? Will he have enough snaps with this Chargers defense this year with the additions that they've made to have value for this team and for them to want to extend him after this year? When you look at some of the slot cornerbacks, the average is somewhere around $7 to $9 million per season. I don't see that deal getting done. So if you're the Chargers, play it like the Patriots would. Get something out of a valuable player that you're not going to be able to re-sign, and don't let him walk away with you ending up with the short end of the stick. But we do have 2 more segments to get into, getting into a bunch of voicemails that you're going to have to listen to coming up right after this. All right, guys, well, the schedule's been a little bit off this week, and obviously today we were supposed to have Daniel Popper from The Athletic on the show, but that didn't work out. That's going to be on tomorrow's show. So today we figured we might as well, instead of just skipping the show altogether, get through as many voicemails as we can, because we have a bunch to get into. And so today we're listening to 7 different voicemails and answering all these questions. But it wouldn't be a voicemail show if we didn't have super fan Zach from Florida call in. So let's hear what Zach has for us this week.
Hey guys, Zach from Florida. So, wanted to do something a little different with this voicemail. So, of our current players, let's start first with defense. Who do you think next season is going to have the most sacks, the most interceptions, and the most tackles? I think, for me, it's going to be Drew Tranquil will have the most tackles. Either Linval Joseph or Joey Bosa will have the most sacks. And I think Derwin James will have the most interceptions. Now, on the offense with our wide receivers and tight ends currently, who do you think will have the most yards and who do you think will have the most touchdowns? For me, I think Mike Williams will have the most touchdowns and Hunter Henry will have the most yards. Want to get your thoughts and both up?
All right, well, I like this, and obviously I'll preface this just by saying so much can change between now and the start of the season, and obviously the Chargers will probably add players before then, or they will add players that could affect these in the draft as well. But David, when you're looking at this and thinking about who's going to have the most tackles, interceptions, sacks, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, who are you giving those way too early awards to at this point in the offseason?
Well, first I'm going to say, if we have a healthy Derwin James, the answer could be Derwin James for all of those. No, I'm just kidding. For me, for sacks, obviously, I think the easy answer is to go to Joey Bosa. I think if he's healthy, and because of all the improvements, and because of the addition of Linval Joseph is making his job a little bit easier, getting pressure in the middle, I think he's definitely going to get the most sacks. As far as the most tackles, I'm going to go Drew Tranquil. I think he's going to be one of the starting linebackers. He showed some great promise last year. I think he's going to build off of that, and he's going to grow in year 2. As far as the interceptions are concerned, I'm going Derwin James. If he's healthy, he's a monster, and I think he's definitely going to fly all over the field and get those interceptions. He also talked about some offensive players. For me, most yards, I think, is going to go to Keenan Allen. And for most touchdowns, that was a little bit of a toss-up for me. But thinking about how Tyrod Taylor plays, I think it's going to be Hunter Henry. It was between Hunter Henry and Mike Williams for me, but I think Hunter Henry is probably going to have the most TDs next year.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Austin Ekeler could technically have the most receiving touchdowns next year. Definitely. We don't necessarily know. I mean, I think he's in the running as well. I was going to go with Hunter Henry just as kind of an off-the-wall pick. I think Mike Williams bounces back, you know, going from 0 touchdowns to 10 touchdowns to 2 touchdowns. I think he'll end, you know, somewhere in the middle of that, maybe 7 or 8. But I think it is between Hunter Henry and Mike Williams. Since you went Henry, I'll go Mike Williams for this one for that. And receptions is obviously going to go to Keenan Allen, so I'm glad you didn't include that on this. But receiving yards have been Keenan Allen, obviously, over the last few seasons. But I definitely think it could be Mike Williams, especially just with the big plays he's able to make. But Keenan Allen's just so consistent. I think it has to be him with the receiving yards. But for interceptions, I'm not going to go Derwin James. I mean, he hasn't led the team. I mean, he hasn't led the team in interceptions. Obviously, last year he was injured. And, I mean, that's usually a corner's kind of stat, right? I mean, safeties definitely do. But an in-the-box safety like Derwin James, Rayshon Jenkins led the team last year with three. I'll have a hot take and say I don't think it's going to be Rayshon Jenkins that leads it in 2020. But I think it's probably going to be Casey Hayward. I think he's the guy that has shown the most proficient ball skills during his time. So I'm going to go Casey Hayward. I do think that Derwin James can lead the Chargers in tackles, which I'm pretty sure he did his rookie season. So I'm going to give Derwin James, not Drew Tranquil, because there is some uncertainty with his playing time this year, the most tackles. And Joey Bosa, outside of, you know, the year he missed most of the season, has led this team in sacks since he's been drafted. So he's the obvious answer there. But that was a good question, Zach. That was a funner thing to do, a little bit different than some of your other voicemails. But we have a bunch to get into, so let's get into the next voicemail. This time we have Daniel from San Diego calling in for the second time. Let's hear what he has to say.
Why, hello. This is Daniel from San Diego, second time caller, long time listener. I've got a question for you guys regarding offensive line prospects. So let's say that we're able to take a quarterback in that sixth pick overall, and, you know, regardless of which quarterback that ends up being, we're going to need to address the offensive tackle position, notably left tackle. And looking at pick 37, I think that's a good place for it. So I just wanted to see if you guys can give me kind of an understanding of the difference between the top tier of those first four offensive tackles on the board versus those that might be available in the second/third round, and kind of what the drop-off is, difference in projections for left tackle versus right tackle, that kind of thing, so I can get a better understanding of who some realistic choices might be if the Chargers do decide to target a quarterback at position six. Cool. Thank you, guys. Love your show. Talk to you soon.
All right. So this is kind of a tough one, but I think there's kind of a simplified answer for it, and I think the most simple answer is the top four guys, Andrew Thomas, Tristan Wirfs, Jedrick Wills, and Mekhi Becton. All of those guys have a pretty good shot of going to whatever team they're going to and starting at offensive tackle right off the bat. And I think if you miss out on those top four guys, I think there's an argument to be made that Josh Jones from Houston could start earlier than some of these other guys that come after him. But I think that's who you're looking at. I don't think Josh Jones makes it out of the first round. I think there's a good chance Austin Jackson doesn't get out of the first round, because we see teams reach for tackles all the time. They reach for corners at the end of the first round. They reach for quarterbacks at the end of the first round. They reach for offensive tackles at the end of the first round. But when you're looking at that next group, I mean, you could put Isaiah Wilson, the tackle from Georgia, in there as well. And there's been rumors he might be a first round pick, which is what makes this such a convoluted conversation. And you also look at a guy like Prince Tagovailoa. I mean, all of those guys have some things they do really well. But David, at the end of the day, I think the biggest difference between the top four prospects and the rest of those guys is you just can't necessarily guarantee that those guys are going to come in and help your offensive line immediately without a little bit of seasoning first.
Right, and that's what I was going to say, Daniel. The difference is just polish. I mean, the top guys, they're coming in, they're ready to step in and be difference makers right away. And the second tier or the later round guys, they just have more question marks about them. So like you mentioned, Prince out of Auburn, he's just more raw. He just needs some refinement. Josh Jones has some questions about strength. You know, even Trey Adams out of Washington has some injury concerns. So it just goes back to what I said. It's just more questions that you're just not sure about. The top guys, you're really, really confident in that all they're going to step in and play extremely well. And that's really just the difference. Just less questions, more answers for the top guys.
Absolutely. And I think when you're talking about those top four prospects, really the only chance the Chargers would get at any of those guys is if they pick them at six or they traded back just a few spots and pick them a little bit later, but not too much later, not outside of the first round. So I think that's obviously if they go quarterback, they're going to have to settle for one of those guys. But I talked about it on a podcast I was on for the Believe Sports Network and the LA Football Network yesterday, just talking about Austin Jackson and Trey Pipkins at this point would be a legitimate competition. at the left tackle spot. I mean, that's all you really need to know. I mean, we know Trey Pipkins probably isn't ready. And between those two guys, neither one of them would technically probably be ready at that point. So you don't want another guy you're going to still have to develop, because then you're kind of just kicking what you ended up taking in Trey Pipkins. You already have a developmental tackle. You don't really need another one. But we have another voicemail to get into. I think this is our first caller from Illinois. I'm not sure, but let's hear what CJ has for us.
This is CJ in Illinois. I'm wondering what you guys think are the chances that Tyrod Taylor is unquestionably going to be the starter if we bring in another main QB, be it a free agent like Newton or Winston, or we end up with somebody like Tua or Love. Thanks, guys. You're helping us get through this all. See you later.
All right, so I think the biggest thing with this question is it just really depends which one you're talking about, because obviously if the Chargers draft a rookie quarterback, whether it's Tua Tagovailoa or not, that guy might need some seasoning. He might need to sit behind the starter. I think if it's a rookie, almost no matter what, that guy will probably start the season on the bench and follow Tyrod Taylor, and Tyrod Taylor will be the unquestioned starter for at least, you know, some of the season. I mean, I think the Browns probably never intended for Baker Mayfield to get on the field, yet he was. I think when you get into camp, what you're going to hear if they take a rookie quarterback is going to be that it is an open competition, and we'll see how that all goes. But as far as bringing in a veteran, if you bring in a veteran like Jameis Winston or Cam Newton, you're not getting those guys to potentially be your backup. You're getting them to start for you. So I think he is the unquestioned starter at the beginning if the Chargers decide to draft a rookie quarterback. But if they bring in a vet like Cam or Jameis Winston, David, I mean, those guys are probably going to expect to start.
Oh, absolutely. They're gonna. I mean, if you've heard all the rumors about Cam Newton, he said he's willing to wait until after the draft to get a starting job. So if the Chargers sign him, he's coming to start, and that's the end of the conversation. For Jameis Winston, I think it's a little murkier. I think you could potentially get him as a backup just because of the season that he came off of. Cam's kind of reputation precedes him. I mean, if he comes in or whoever team he plays for, he's probably going to start for them. But I do believe Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starter if they draft a rookie quarterback. He is a bridge quarterback. I do believe he's probably just going to be with the Chargers for one season. But, you know, I believe that's how it's going to shake out.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most likely scenario that will unfold. But with those guys, I mean, I think that's the thing. I mean, it is also crazy just to think about two number one overall picks and to see kind of how far those guys have fallen. But at least Cam has the reputation of, hey, I've led a team to a Super Bowl. I've been an MVP in this league. I just have to get back to that. With Jameis Winston, what are you getting back to, right? I mean, his national championship games, that's a little bit, yeah, a little bit more far-fetched. I mean, I think if they brought in one of those guys, though, they would probably have the, you know, thought of having them be their starting quarterback. And obviously, if you sign one of those guys, the rookie quarterback, and choosing one at six gets a little trickier as well. But this is a win now roster, and I've said that many times. So the whole thing is a little bit confusing as far as how the Chargers have put this whole thing together. But we do have one more segment to get into, three more voicemails to get into, talking about Jake Fromm and much more coming up right after this. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment. Thank you for bearing with us and letting us do just, you know, an entire voicemail show. I love getting you guys to be able to interact with the show and giving you a platform to give off all of your Chargers takes. And I thought it would just be a good idea for us to catch up a little bit so we're not always talking about voicemails that are 3 weeks old. So we are almost caught up now, and we have a few more to get into in this segment. But we're going to start with, you know, one of our friends on Twitter. This is Daniel Peeler, the Chargers nerd, is where you can find him on Twitter. Let's hear what he has for us this week.
Hi, Dan, Dave, and John. This is Daniel Peeler, a.k.a. Chargers nerd, calling for my fourth time from San Diego. Quickly here at the top, I was moved by the How You Became a Chargers Fan call from Joe in your discussion on the April 3rd show. Like John opened up about, I was also very much a misfit growing up, perhaps more by nature than through circumstances, and I also had some challenging times in the family. But every day, I'd go to my grandparents, watch Padres and Chargers games, and eat some ice cream. And it was always a joyful escape and is now deeply connected for me to the memory of my grandparents. I know people who aren't sports people can struggle to understand how meaningful sports can be in our lives, so it was just great to hear some similar experiences. So today, I wanted to reconsider the Tua trade-up question from a fresh angle. I love thinking big picture about team building like they do so well on the Move at Six podcast, especially comparing how the Chiefs and 49ers built their teams. All my football instincts tend towards building a team like the 49ers, solid on defense, run game, and special teams. And at the same time, I can never quite shake the thought that the Chiefs are always two injuries on offense away from being a very average team. Yet the Chiefs won the Super Bowl almost exclusively through their dynamic QB play and an unstoppable pass game. So the question there is, do you think there's a lesson to be learned from the Chargers building their team from the example of the Chiefs? Though, again, it's against my instincts. I could see the Chargers trading away a number of picks if they can outbid the Dolphins. And honestly, just walking away from the first four rounds with Tua and a speedy wide receiver, maybe Devin DuVernay, and still coming away better than if they hit four or even five positions of need in the first four rounds. Would love your take on that. So thanks again, and go Bolts, and also Rivers on the Colts.
All right. Well, let me just start by saying thank you for calling in and saying that about just our stories. And I wish John was here to, you know, talk about this. He did hear. I had him listen to it separately. So John definitely wanted to thank you. And we thank you just for, you know, coming on and kind of sharing your vulnerabilities with us. Because I think for people that don't watch sports and care about sports and live, breathe, and die with sports, don't really understand these things. But obviously, if there's anything we can understand, is just sometimes this stuff is just all bigger than sports. And having this podcast just to kind of make, you know, your day a little bit more normal. I mean, that's kind of what sports brings to the table. And it just doesn't really make sense all the time, but that's something we can definitely connect with. But getting to your question and how the Chargers should build this team, I mean, I think that you brought up two really good examples. I mean, you have the Chiefs, who have, you know, just won the Super Bowl, and you have the 49ers. And I agree that, you know, building in the trenches, building a strong defense, strong special teams, a strong running game is so important. But at the same time, we just watched that fail. So I think there are some lessons to be learned with how those two teams built their teams. I mean, with the 49ers, they have the strong running game. They built the defensive line. They built the offensive line. They had a really good defense. But the Chiefs are just in, you know, almost unimaginable offense. That's just, you know, once in a lifetime type of offense. And the quarterbacks that you get like that, you know, you're talking about dynamic quarterback play, those guys just don't come around very often. So that's not always an easy thing to kind of just build around that special quarterback, because it's really just hard to bring one on. But David, when you're looking at this, and he kind of brings up, you know, what if the Chargers traded away their first few picks and then ended up coming out of the draft with just Tua and a speedy wide receiver? So they fill their quarterback need. They fill one of the offensive needs that they have. They don't do anything on defense just in the first four rounds. So if that was the case, do you think that you'd be happy with the Chargers, even though that, you know, they only came out of the first four rounds with two position groups filled?
Yeah, I'd be okay with that, because you obviously need a quarterback. And if you go get your guy, then I'm happy with it. And I love the fact that he brought up Devin DuVernay, because that was my fifth round pick, you know, a speedy wide receiver out of Texas. So I'd love to see him on the Chargers. He has the ability to take the top off the defense. That's exactly what we need. And back to the point about the 49ers, I've said many times, you build from the inside out. And unfortunately, it seems like the Chargers have waited a long time to really subscribe to that philosophy. But this offseason, it seems like they're leaning a little bit closer to doing that. They bring in Linval Joseph, they sign Brian Bulaga, they trade for Trey Turner. So it seems like they're starting to do that a little bit more. So I love to see that. And yeah, if they get Tua Tagovailoa and they get a speedy wide receiver, I'm okay with it, because like you mentioned, this is a win now roster, and I think there's just a couple of things that need to be tweaked and added to, and they might be right there.
Well, in this scenario, you don't get your left tackle, and that would still be a giant hole on the team. And, you know, you're trading away those assets to just get one player into a Tagovailoa. But I've said it before too. I mean, if he's your franchise guy, you do what it takes to get that guy in the building, because he could bring you, you know, 10 years of success if he lives up to his potential. So I think that's kind of my thoughts on it. But trade for Tua, that is something I'm fully on board with. Thank you for calling in, Daniel, aka Chargers Nerd. But let's get into one of our other regular callers. This is Curtis Loki. I have another voicemail from you, Curtis Loki. It'll be in the next voicemail show. But let's hear what he has for us this week.
Hey guys, it's Curtis Loki. So I've been watching a lot of film, primarily on offensive tackles. I tried to zero in on left tackles simply because the idea of taking a right tackle and converting him to a left tackle at number six just seems a little far-fetched, unless the talent is just undeniable. I understand a lot of people are Tristan Wirfs fan, but I think Andrew Thomas from Georgia, I think he is just a surefire, solid pick. And I understand that, you know, there's a lot of talk about potentially trading down or taking best player available. or even taking a quarterback at that spot. But in the process of watching Thomas, the offensive tackle, I couldn't help but notice Jake Fromm. I'm not gonna say that Jake Fromm is a top tier elite quarterback, but there are things that he does really, really well, especially in the short and intermediate passing game. And so I just kind of wanted to know if you guys have watched any film on him. What were your thoughts on taking the combination of two? I'm not sure where he ranks as far as taking him in the second round or even potentially trading back up in the second or taking him at three. But it just couldn't hurt seeing how we don't have a quarterback, but we have someone that we're apparently going to roll with. But I just want to know what your guys' thoughts were on taking someone like a surefire left tackle that's already been, I don't want to say proven at the NFL level, but proven, and then taking his teammate in Jake Fromm. All right, guys, love the show. Go Bolts.
So I will just start by saying that I like Andrew Thomas a lot. I mean, I've said many times, I mean, I think he's probably the fourth tackle on my board. I understand why someone would want him at six or want to take him as the first tackle. And I mean, there's not a lot of argument that I can have. I mean, I think with a lot of these guys, especially, you know, Jedrick Wills playing right tackle, and you talked about you don't want to take a right tackle and, you know, have that experiment of moving him to left tackle. And Tristan Wirfs, you think that you like Andrew Thomas a little bit better. I mean, it just really comes down to what you want. I think the Chargers, if they end up taking a tackle, you wouldn't really be mad about any of those four guys. And I like some of the things that he does a lot. He's not as fluid. He's not as able to kind of get out there in the running game like some of the other guys are. But when he gets his hands on you, it's really hard to get away from him. And that's something that you like to see in pass protection. But I think with this, I mean, you're also talking about Jake Fromm, and it has, you know, to do with what you think about Jake Fromm as well. And David, you've talked about Jake Fromm a little bit. So have I. He does a lot of things well. I mean, you said in the short and intermediate passing range, I mean, those are definitely his strengths. He's taken a lot of criticism on the deep ball. He doesn't have the best arm, but that doesn't mean you can't throw a deep ball either. We've seen plenty of quarterbacks with average arms throw really good deep balls. So the only thing is, David, is even if the Chargers came away with this, it's nice because you get a guy that you feel like could potentially turn into a starter at quarterback, and you get a left tackle that you feel really good about. But really, I think what it comes down to is if you're okay with this is just how high are you on a guy like Andrew Thomas and how high are you on Jake Fromm? Because what you asked is, where is this guy going to go? It's going to be somewhere between the late second round and the early fourth round. That's the range that you'd have to take him. So he might go before your third pick comes around in the late second, and you might not be able to wait until the fourth to get him. But as far as quarterback prospects, I like him. He's the fifth quarterback on my board after Jordan Love. So I like him more than Jacob Eason. I like him more than I like Jalen Hurts just because of his arm and what he's able to do just purely from a quarterback standpoint, while also being able to recognize that he's not the best system fit, David.
No, he's not the best system fit at all, but he has some great physical attributes that definitely play well at the NFL level. But we just don't know where he's going to be picked. And, you know, if you wait to pick him, he might be gone. I mean, the quarterbacks, that's such a fluid situation. You never know. Like you mentioned before, a lot of times teams reach for quarterbacks. They reach for offensive linemen. And as far as Andrew Thomas, I like his ability. He is a monster in the run game as far as, like, you know, the power running game. He does have a little bit of issues in space. He's a pretty decent pass protector. So I don't know if I would be too comfortable with taking him at six. If they trade back and they get him, I'd be okay with that. And that might be an opportunity for you to grab another position and wait a little bit to address quarterback if you want to get Jake Fromm. I also like the fact that they're very familiar with each other as they played together at the same school at Georgia.
Well, and we've seen the Chargers take players from the same school before, right? At one point, their kicker and punter were both from Texas A&M when it was Josh Lambeau and Drew Kayser. And you also had, you know, Melvin Gordon getting blocks from Derek Watt, his fullback at Wisconsin. We have also seen them take a bunch of Notre Dame players as well. So that would definitely be on brand. But as far as Andrew Thomas goes, I mean, I'd feel more comfortable having Andrew Thomas out there at left tackle this year than I would Trey Pipkins. Take that how you will. And
Without question.
I mean, and with Jake Fromm, I definitely like his ability. I think some people are definitely sleeping on him. And if you move back, like David said, I mean, that gives you more of a way where you wouldn't necessarily have to reach for him. And if you felt the need to kind of move up a little bit in the draft, maybe moving up from the third to the back end of the second. You could do that with the extra capital that you traded back and got. So that's a situation, at least in that scenario, you're getting a quarterback that can definitely play a little bit. You're getting a left tackle that you feel decent about, and you're filling both of those needs. But we do have another voicemail to get into. This one is from Victor. Let's hear what Victor has for us this week.
Hey guys, this is Victor here calling from San Diego. Diehard Chargers fan here. Avid listener of the Locked On Chargers podcast. Wanted to run an idea by you guys. So I've been seeing a lot about us potentially trading back from the sixth pick. And so this is assuming that Tua gets picked up by the Dolphins. You know, what is the realistic possibility of us trading back to, let's say, 11 with the Jets or even 12 with the Raiders? And still being able to get our guy, Justin Herbert, and, you know, obviously not getting one of these top three or four tackles, but maybe using that draft capital, pick up someone like Austin Jackson or even Josh Jones early in the second. Yeah, just wanted to get your thoughts. You know, I guess my question is, what is the realistic possibility of Herbert still being there at 11 or 12?
All right, so first, I mean, let's answer the main question first, David. Will Justin Herbert be there at 11 or 12? And I think one of the things you look at is if it's the Raiders, I mean, they could be potentially trading up to get Justin Herbert, I mean, if he falls to you at 6. So I think that's something that you would have to keep in mind. But those other teams that are there, the Panthers aren't going to take a quarterback more than likely after signing Teddy Bridgewater. You don't think that the Cardinals are going to take a quarterback because they have Kyler Murray. So he might be able to be there, but if you decide to move back like that, you have to always be willing to take the risk that somebody that didn't think they had a shot will now try to move back up into the top 10 to get someone like that. And if you ended up trading back, you might be able to get, you know, someone like Austin Jackson, but I doubt you're going to be able to get Josh Jones. But David, I'm not sure that Justin Herbert would still be there at 11 or 12 if they traded back.
I mean, yeah, you don't know, but if you look at how the draft kind of the draft board is shaking out, for me, I think if they were to trade back, they could trade back to as far as 13 possibly and still get Justin Herbert if that was the deal. I don't think that Justin Herbert would get past Tampa Bay. I mean, you have to think, yeah, they signed Tom Brady, but Tom Brady's 42 years old. I mean, he's not going to be around forever. I mean, this is a short-term deal for a reason. So I think it's a great possibility that they would look to draft a young quarterback, have him sit under Tom Brady. I mean, who wouldn't want to draft a quarterback and have him sit under the greatest quarterback of all time as far, I mean, as pretty much anyone's measuring stick is concerned. So I think if you were to trade back, I think that was probably going to be right where the sweet spot is. But yeah, you just never know because you don't know what teams are going to do. And, you know, Justin Herbert is one of the top quarterbacks in the draft.
And I think it would make a big difference if you were okay with Jordan Love as well. And another thing that helps us out is that the Colts traded their first round pick to the 49ers, who probably aren't going to draft a quarterback with that pick at 14. So those are things that help you because if the Colts were at 14, they might try to leapfrog you and get back into the Justin Herbert game if you went to 11 or 12. I mean, the Raiders might not be sold on Derek Carr, so I still think that could be a possibility for them too. We know that they have met with Justin Herbert, and you're not meeting with him unless you're going to take him in the first round because that's the only time you're going to get a shot. But if you feel okay about Herbert or Love, you could probably have either one of those guys or at least one of those two guys if you decided to trade back to 11 or 12. But we do have one more voicemail to get into quickly. This is Tim calling in to say that our beef has been resolved.
Hey, Wade, this is Tim. Hey, man, I just listened to the podcast and heard myself on there. Hey, man, I'm just ribbing you, man. I'm messing with you. I'm not upset. Anytime I call up there and act like I'm upset, I'm not upset. I'm playing around. So no worries. Yeah, and this isn't really for the show. I'm just calling up to tell you guys that. And, yeah, just messing around. I thought Andy Dalton was a free agent for some reason. But, anyway, it made for a good joke, you know, if nothing else. So, anyway, man, hey, guys, thanks for the podcast and all. Stay safe out there, man. I know California's one crowded place. I lived there 40-some years, and so just be safe. Keep your social distancing up, and I'm going to do the same out here in KC. All right, guys. Have a good one. Thanks again. Bye.
All right, Tim. Well, I was just joking as well. I didn't think that you were actually mad at me, and I know we have to say these things about the time, but Hey, guess what? That's a voicemail in under a minute. That was the shortest Tim voicemail of all time.
It's a miracle.
You know that you're one of my favorite callers. I think you were one of the first callers I said was one of my favorite callers when we started doing voicemails, and we always appreciate your call. You always bring us something original, and I hope that you never stop calling and you stick around even though the Chargers decide to be a pain in the ass and kind of break your heart all the time. But at least Travis Benjamin's gone, and I know that helps you sleep easier at night. But that is going to wrap things up for the voicemail show. Again, tomorrow will be the Daniel Popper interview, so we have a bunch to talk with him about. You're not going to want to miss it. But until then, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. Make sure to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on iTunes or following us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. You can get the Locked On Chargers podcast there, and you'll get it before everybody else. If you guys want to get on the voicemail line, the number is 323-524-7924, and every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. But make sure you come back for the Daniel Popper interview tomorrow, guys, and then next week we are rigging it all the way up for the draft and breaking down some of these prospects. But until then, guys, take it easy and go Bolts.